Please bow and pray in silence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our second to last class of the book of Nehemiah. Let's all rise and sing one hymn, 514. 514. Let's kneel down and pray and ask God to guide us. Let's pray together.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. The name is Christ. Before we continue to study the book of Nehemiah, we have four questions. And thank God, you know, because quite often when you in any classes, if you don't understand a certain thing, you should ask a question, right? Because if you don't ask a question, then maybe you're going to go home with the wrong mentality, right? So it's important to ask questions for all the classes. So the first question, when you say, it's very personal, right? Very personal. When you say it, right? So when you said in class that having homosexual tendencies is not a sin, are you saying that it's a weakness that need to be overcome? But having those thoughts is still a sin. Like how looking lustfully at a woman is sin. Thanks. Okay. So what do I mean when I say it, when you have the tendency? Right? What do I mean by that? Right? When a person have tendency, it's not a sin against God. Right? It's not a sin against God. So what's that mean? Can anybody explain? Yes. Okay, what's that? So you can say it, brother. Yeah, so you're attracted to the same sex. For example, sister, you like guys, right? But every time you look at guys, you're not gonna lust after them, right? You like guys. That's the way it is. So a homosexual tendency, this means you have the tendency to like the same sex, right? But don't think that every time a homosexual person look at the same sex, they lust after them. No, it's just like sisters sometimes look at brother. Oh, he's quite cute, right? And that's it, he's cute, right? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Right. So the same thing, I know brothers sometimes, yeah. I think sister would be a great example, right? Quite often if sister look at a guy, they're not going to lust after them. But brothers or guys, maybe, right? Maybe we go over the boundary a little bit, right? We look at a sister, maybe we lust after them. That's why we must control ourselves, right? We must control ourselves. So that's why I give an example. I can look at guys, if they're all buff looking, say, hey, that guy's buff. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Do I think, well, I'm going to sleep with him because he's buff? Of course not, right? So the same thing, right? When we look at the opposite sex, we have feelings, we like the opposite sex. It doesn't mean it's sin. Okay? Anybody understand that now? But, of course, if you look at a person, doesn't matter the same sex or opposite sex, if you lust after them, that's a sin. It doesn't matter the same sex or opposite sex. Right? So it goes the same way, right? I remember one time, me and this other pastor, right? We were at the church. You know, me and the other pastor, you know, we're just guys, you know? After we take a shower, right? Just put our, you know, a tank top on, showing all our muscle. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we just very relaxed, right? Very relaxed. We just sit there and talk and chatting. Then we realize every time after we take a shower and stuff, we come to a room, there's a brother, right? We're always there. And this brother is attracted to the other pastor, right? Yeah, and he's always sit next to him, right? And he's cut apples and stuff for us to eat. He always give that pastor first, right? And the thing is, the pastor, he was clueless, right? Because I work with people so I can tell right away, right? And because the pastor is so cute too, he's like a teddy bear, right? Right? So, you know, so, and then when I realized that automatically, I said, hey, you know, next time when we, you know, take shower and stuff, we shouldn't just wear tank top and stuff like that, right? So he said, why? So I explained to him. Then I wasn't even sure that he had homosexual tendency, right? So I asked one of the council members, this so-and-so, right? And, oh, they're like, yeah. He has no homosexual tendency. So from then on, we ask him, brother, can you not come over, you know, can you not come over to our room and stuff again, right? Why? Because we don't want him to sin against God, right? Of course, he likes the same sex. It doesn't mean he goes around and look at everybody and lusts after them, right? It doesn't mean that, okay? But rather, he had the tendency to like the same sex. So for us, we don't want to be for that pastor, he doesn't want to be a stumbling block, right?
for that brother. So we ask him, please don't come anymore, right? Please, right? So the brother, thank God, he says, okay, I don't come over anymore, right? Because he knew himself too that he started to attract this pastor, right? Okay. So any other question pertaining to that, make sure it's clear. It's clear. Don't be surprised we have, you know, brothers or sisters have homosexual tendency, right? Don't be surprised. And don't be surprised if some brother and sister addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornographic, right, have anger issues. Don't be surprised. It's part of our nature. Sinful nature. Right? That's why we must receive the Holy Spirit to overcome our weaknesses. This is very important. If I can get rid of my anger after I receive the Holy Spirit, right, and after cultivating myself, for sure everyone else can overcome their weaknesses through the Holy Spirit also. If you knew what I was like before I came to Jesus Christ, you can never believe it. Even now, when I think about myself, I can't believe I'm a pastor. I can't believe it, you know? Really, I can't believe it. Because before I came to Christ, really, I was such a violent person. Right? Not because I like to fight, but when people say something to me, I just get angry right away, right? And then my mind go blank. I think some of you have anger issues, right? You're talking, it's like this, right? Not because you want to hurt someone, but when you get so angry, right, then your mind just completely blank, and then you do things that you don't want to do. I remember one time, because my adopted mother, right, she's OCD, right, obsessive compulsive disorder, right? So one time I was in college, right, and she called me up and she paged me out of my class, and I thought something was really, really important, right? So I went and I called, like, Mother, what happened? What happened? She's like, what did I tell you? When you take your clothes out of the closet, put the hanger away. I'm like, oh. And for me, I got so upset, right? And I got angry. And then I punched this fireproof door, right? When I punched it, my bone right here popped up like that, stick out. It didn't come out of my skin, but it popped up, right? Then a bunch of my drunk friends dropped me in the hospital and left me there for 9 hours by myself, right? So don't have friends who are drunkards, right? No, anger, right? But for me, now, really. But I guarantee, if I don't pray enough, if I don't read the Word of God enough, yes, my anger come back. Because we live in the flesh, right? We're still here. I'm still booty. But praise and thank God, God gave me the tool to overcome it, okay? To overcome it. Okay, any other question pertaining to that? So I think the question here is that we think that anyone who have homosexual tendency, every time they look at the same sex, they lust after them. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. But especially for sisters, right? Sisters, if they like the same sex, when they look at the same sex, what do you think the thing that attracts them to most? What do you think the thing that attracts them the most? I'm sorry?
Yes, personality, right? Emotion, right? They don't think nothing about being lustful. For guys, sometimes they're like this, right? But for women, right?
So someday when you get married, right? Really, you must fulfill your wife's emotional needs. If you be able to do that, she would do anything for you, right? Really? So the trick is, not trick, but the way for your wife to do anything for you is to love her. Love her so much, right? When she comes home, sometime when I'm on the second floor, right, and I know, you know, around 5, 6 o'clock, my wife is coming home, right? So I would look out the window waiting for her, right? The minute she got out of the car, I went downstairs and I opened the door, right? Hi, right? Really? This makes a big difference. Even though she's in a bad mood, right? When you say hi, automatically she starts to smile, right? This is very important, right? Things like this. So emotional needs. So if you're watching TV and your wife says, I need to talk to you, what should you do with the TV? Turn it off. Your sister knows, turn it off. Even though you're like, man, hurry up, you know, hurry up, right? But you must turn it off. When you talk to them, you look at them in the face, really. And hold their hands, right? When you do that, I'm sure, right? Your wife would do anything for you, right? You want to buy a big boat? Sure, go ahead. You want to buy a motorcycle? No, I'm just kidding, but you know. right? No, this is very important, right? Emotion. So don't think that everyone who have homosexual tendency look at the same sex and then lust after them. No, just like you and I, right? Just like you and I, the same thing too, right? Okay. Okay. Question number two. Any question pertaining to anything else? Anybody's clear with that? Clear? Okay, clear. But you know, for me, I really feel sorrowful, right, when I know brother or sister have homosexual tendency, because for me, I would never ever want to have that myself, right? It's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of difficulties, right? So that's why if you really know a brother and sister have this kind of tendency, please pray for them. Even fast and pray for them, right? But of course, at the same time, there's another question here, right? There's another question here. Okay, verse 3, right? Question 3, I go question 3 first. How do we love sinners but not approve of their sins, right? So for example, if we have a brother or sister have 10 homosexual tendency, right? Of course, we love them of who they are. In the sense that even though they have their weaknesses, but we still love them. But if they practice the homosexual tendency and we try to warn them, we try to share with them, right? If they continue to practice it on purpose, then we have to keep ourselves from them. At least I'm talking about fellow brethren. But if they're outsiders, because they do not know the word of God, right? But of course, you're not going to be best friend with them. But there's nothing wrong to say hi, hello to them, right? Once in a while, go out to eat with them, right? So hopefully one day you can preach to them and bring them to Christ. But you cannot hang out with them to be best friend with them. Why is that? Why? Why? Just like anything else, not only with homosexuality, right? Those who are drunken, right? We should not also hang out with them. They be like, become our best friend. So what we're talking about, love the sinners, right? So this means the individual, the person, we love them. But the sin that they practice, we should hate it, right? We should hate it. And we must make very clear to them, right? That we don't like what they do. Right? For example, most of my siblings, they're not Christian, they're not TJC members, right? So they marry and we marry, right? So do I hate them? Of course not, they're my siblings, right? I love them, but I always tell them what they're doing is wrong, right? What they're doing is wrong. The same thing when you have friends. How many of you, if you have friends, they curse and stuff a lot, you tell them, please don't curse when I'm around. How many of you tell your friends? And how, Renato, what do they say? What do your friends say when you say that? They have freedom of speech. That person probably running for politics or something, huh? Actually, quite often, if they're really your good friends, you ask them, they would respect your request, right? Really, they would respect your request. The same thing, sometimes I go play golf, especially in Hawaii. There's a lot of militaries there, right? And every time you go out, man, they swear like crazy, right? So sometimes I just walk by myself, right? Then after, if I cannot get away from them, I ask them, right? Say, please do not swear, right? And actually, when we talk, they always, ask me, what do I do, right? And I say, I'm a pastor. The minute I'm saying I'm a pastor, they go, I'm sorry. I swear all the time, right? And he sees, like, some of them say, pray for me. I have a bad habit of swearing, right? Really, they're very sincere, right? So don't be ashamed or be afraid. If your environment, right, is not godly, in a sense that, your friends, you hang out with all the time. If they swear, they curse, and use God's name in vain, just ask them very nicely, right? Ask them, because when you go to work, the same thing too, right? So my wife, when she go to work, her guy's co-worker, right? At lunchtime, you guess where they go for lunch? It's very scary. Huh? No, they go to a nudie bar for lunch and drink. Yeah, very strange. Right? Very strange, right? But even the friend that she hang out with, if they use God's name in vain, if they swear, she tell them, right? If you want to have lunch with me and stuff like that, if you want to hang out, you cannot swear, right? But you have to do it very nicely, right? But you have to know that person too. Don't just say, someone is like brand new, you never met them before, right? And they curse, right? Then you tell them because they don't know who you are, so they cannot respect you like that. Sometimes they get upset, right? Right? So use a, you know, use a wisdom, right? Use a wisdom, okay? So any other thing pertaining to we love sinners but not approve of their sins? So what's the difference between when our fellow brethren sinning against God? The Bible says do not keep company with them, right? But the outsiders, we still, you know, can, you know, I'm not hang out, but still they're friends like, right? What's the difference? That's what the Bible said, right? What's the difference? What is your understanding of that? What's that? Yes. Yes, the Gentile, right? Yeah. Yes, because they do not know the word of God. Right? Because they do not know the word of God, so they cannot practice it. They are Gentile, right? They are beastly, right? If they are beastly, they will act like a beast. You cannot expect them to be like God's children. But if God's children act like a beast, then you must stay away from them. I'm talking about, you know, if they keep doing it, right? Compulsively, right? Even lying too, same thing, right? If you have a brethren always lie about things, you must stay away because their father is Satan. Lying is very serious, right? That's why when my nephew lie, oh, he get grounded a long, long time. Because I'm trying to teach him, because some people think when the little kids lie and deceive, they think, oh, he's so cute, look. Yeah, he's a child of the devil. How cute he can be, really, right? Because children, you can see, really, even though they're so young, really, their mind's so deceptive, right? So deceiving. And for me and my wife, we really don't like that. If someone do something wrong, like that, my niece and stuff do something wrong in the house, they tell the truth, it's fine, tell the truth, right? But if they lie, yeah, for us, we don't really like it. It's just, right? Because God's children are not supposed to lie, okay? Next question, number two. In class, you mentioned that while you were a counselor before going to TTP, that you saw a patient with psychological disorders who also appeared to be demon-possessed because they were afraid of God's spirit that was in you. According to the Bible, how should we understand psychological disorder, such as schizophrenia and depression? How do we know if the disorder are simply biological effect or are they Satan's work, right? This is a very, very good question, right? Because the mainstream always, right, the mainstream and also the religious people always try to, you know, diagnose this this situation. So the question is that, how do you know if a person truly has some kind of schizophrenia or they are possessed by evil spirit? How do we know, right? Anyone? Anyone? Psychology majors? Sister, any sister society psychology? Well, you guys want to make all the money, right? That's why engineer, doctor, lawyer, right? Psychology doesn't make too much money. What do you guys think? What do you think? Yes. Okay, if they look at you or not, right? If they look at you, I see some schizophrenia, right? They're afraid to look at you too. Right? Yeah, they're afraid to look at you too, right? Because they have no eye contact. That's one of the things, right? They talk to you, they look, you know, right? Okay, but actually sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's true. Anything else? Actually, it's very difficult to tell if a person truly have like a psychological disorder or possessed by evil spirit. So during these 10 years when I work with the people, there's one thing they differentiate, right, between those who are possessed and those who have psychological disorder. First, they are levitation. Levitation. What do I mean by levitation? Huh? Yes. A person who possessed by evil spirit when they walk, very light. But a person who has psychological disorder when they walk, they're like this. But a person who possessed by evil spirit quite often, they're like super ninja, right? Yeah, very, right? So that's the first sign, right? That's the first sign. Then you got to hear testimony, right? One of the TTP students, not in the United States, right? Somewhere else, right? During the time he was, you know, he had this wrong concept of faith, right? So the evil spirit came into him. So an elder was given a sermon, and that brother, right? He was walking inside, right? The elder said he almost didn't touch the ground. because evil spirits inside of him. Right? And have one client, right? One client, this short and chubby guy, right? So what happened at nighttime? Evil spirit came into him. And evil spirit tell him, I'm your uncle. You must listen to me what I'm saying, right? If you want to become the richest person, you must climb up this tree, right? So his eyes were closed. And he was in his underwear, right? The police found him 40 feet up on a tree. Short, stubby guy. When he opened his eyes, of course, he got so scared on top of the tree. Why? Because evil spirit inside of him, right, gave him this kind of power to climb up the tree, right? If you see him, you know he cannot even climb, I don't know, right? He just cannot, right? But evil spirit, right? And the same guy, because he had this special power, right? Evil spirit power. Why are we talking about this? Oh, yeah. I'm like, we're going off topic again. That same guy, when my older brother was in jail, right? He did not know that that was my brother. He did not know. So he came, you know, when he was my client then. So he told me he has a prophecy, right? And this prophecy that he has a friend in jail who's gonna be coming out this year, this date. And that was my brother. It was exactly the same year, the same date. It's quite amazing, right? No, it's not amazing, it's evil. Right? It's evil. But they have that kind of power. Right? That kind of power. The same thing before his son got put in jail. He told me already. Next Monday, at this time, the police gonna arrest him. Sure enough, the police arrest his son, right? For dealing drugs and stuff like that. Yeah, so evil spirit has that kind of power, but it's evil. Right? It's evil. So, okay, so first is levitation. Those who possessed by evil spirit, they're very light on their feet. Very light on their feet. But if they're not light on their feet, they're very rigid, right? Rigid, just the opposite, right? You know what I'm talking about when it's rigid, right? Their body is very stiff, right? And when they're on the ground, you cannot move them. They are so stiff, right? So that's why those who have evil spirit in different churches, right? When they lay hands on them, they fall on the ground. They just roll on the ground, right? You really cannot pick them up. That's why on TV, they need 2-3 people, right? You guys see that before, right? 2-3 people to pick them up because they are so heavy, so rigid, right? And then another one we can tell is that if a person has psychological disorder, you sit there and you talk to them. What are you hearing now, right? What's going on? If they have psychological disorder, they will tell you, oh, right now, somebody's talking to me. Somebody's talking to me. And you ask them, what? What are they saying, right? So hold on. They are very quiet right now. Yeah. Oh, they're too loud. I can't hear too loud. Yeah. Things like that, right? So then you know, right? But an evil person, a person possessed by evil spirit, they cannot be like that, right? They cannot, like, in the moment, they cannot describe what's going on with them, their voice and stuff like that, right? Yeah. I remember one time I was picking up from a lady, because I worked in the hospital back then in a psychiatric unit, right? And it just happened, I had to give this client a ride home, because you have no ride home. But I had to pick up my wife, too. And I forgot to tell my wife to don't say anything, right? When she come into the car. Because, you know, it drives the client crazy because you hear all different voices. Then my wife tried to talk to her, she can go crazy too, right? So that means she has schizophrenia, right? Evil spirit, they just be silent, you know, they won't say anything until you do something bad to them, try to cast them out and stuff, right? Okay, those are the two main things. Any other thing? But quite often, those who have psychological disorder also can be possessed by evil spirit. Why? The chance for them is very high. Why? Why? And meditation, make sure you guys don't meditate, right? I'm talking about if you meditate, the word of God is okay. We're talking about meditation like doing yoga meditation, right? And kung fu meditation. Because when you do the kind of meditation, you want to empty yourself, right? And when you empty yourself, then what can happen? Something else will go and occupy you, and that is Satan, right? So before I came to TJZ, I was possessed twice when I was doing kung fu, right? One, the first time I was possessed, I started laughing for an hour straight. And my body was on the ground just like a piece of board, right? So the kung fu master and another kung fu brother just picked me up, right, by my feet and my head. Can you do that I was straight. And he picked me up like that and put on a couch. Can you do that to a normal person? No. You cannot, right? You want to try it, Jeffrey? You cannot do it, right? Because your body will, you know, it's flexible, right? Not like a stiff, like a board, right? Then second time possessed me, I start to cry for an hour for no reason. Crying, right? So after that, right, of course, thank God I came to know Jesus Christ. And even I came to know Jesus Christ, I was still doing Kung Fu a little bit, right? But every time I walked into the school, automatically, I just see demons in the school, right? And I stopped doing it altogether, right? Yeah. So really, I'm talking, karate is fine, right? But as long as you don't bow to your master, whatever, right? But I'm talking about Kung Fu, right, and stuff like that. It had to do with spiritual things, right? And yoga too, right? You must be very careful. I know some sister, you guys want to do exercise, yoga and stuff. Do something else besides doing yoga. Why? Because all the position is to worship idols, right? Really do the origin from it, right? But karate, American karate is for exercise, right? Hee-ha, that's it, right? But Kung Fu is different. Kung Fu is different, okay? Anything else? Yes? What's that? Oh, all the demons are all different, right? All the demons have different personality. Some of them are very, very evil. Some of them are very funny evil, right? Yes. Some of them, they're annoying spirit. They come just to annoy you, right? Just like one time, I was, you know, when I was sleeping, I always feel like this annoying spirit is always next to me, right? Then I went to the bathroom. He's also beside me. I said, can you leave me alone for tonight? Right? That's why, of course, you know, I'm so used to it back then, right? Because he's an annoying spirit. He doesn't want you to sleep, right? So he come to annoy you, right? I say, please, let's leave me alone for tonight, right? And then, of course, when I go back to bed, he jump on me and start choking me, right? In a laughing way. It's evil laughing way. It's not like laughing cute kind of laugh, right? It's evil kind of laughing way, right? And then one evil spirit pretended to be my wife, right? So one time, of course, I went to bed before my wife, and my wife was studying, right? Reading something. So when I was sleeping, all of a sudden, I thought my wife was next to me. So I just put my arm on her like this, right? And all of a sudden, I look over, the demon start to eat my arm. Big teeth, right? And my wife saw me on bed, struggling like this, hallelujah, 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 right? And she see with her own eyes, right, what I was going through, right? And thank God she wake me, Woody, get up, right? And then I got up, right? And some evil spirit, they just like, you know, from the guy, what? From the Matrix, you know, the guy in black? The evil guy, the bad guy, they dress like that, very fancy, isn't it? Oh, there's all different kinds. Some of them have really big teeth, sharp teeth, right? And some of them, they have breasts, right? Like ugly, burning breasts, right? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's what I'm saying, they also can become just like an angel of light also. Okay? So that's why you must use the word of God to discern. Don't look with a physical eyesight. Right? The one who came just like the guy in Matrix, man, you look at him like, wow, he's cool. Right? But his intention, if you really feel how evil it is inside of him, he's evil. Right? And this one evil spirit, this is the one he just, you know, during the one NYTS, right? During the time many evil spirits were around. So he just wrapped his arm around me. Within second, my body went to a different dimension. And I heard women and children screaming and yelling, right? Like their yelling and screaming is full of torment, right? And I thought I can never get out. I say hallelujah, hallelujah many times, hallelujah, I cannot get him out. And all of a sudden, thank God, right? I see a little light in the corner of my eyes. Then I just meditate, you know, God, please, please. Then the light become bright and bright, and then thank God I came back to my body, right? Yeah, they're evil. So that's why for us, as a chosen people of God, Satan always wanted to destroy us. Always wanted to destroy us. Yes? It's very hard for me to describe, right? But in your spirit, you know it's evil spirit, right? You know, sometimes you have bad dreams, or you watch like some kind of crazy movie or something, you dream, that is different. When you experience evil spirit, your whole being is full of chill. It's just like it's so evil, you can't get away from it. That's how you feel, right? Yeah. I cannot really describe what it's like, but when you guys, yeah. Hopefully you just don't need to, I mean, I experienced Satan so many times, but I still feel so afraid, right? So don't say in your head, "Oh, I want to experience him." No, don't say that. You repent if you want to say. If you say it in your heart, repent, because he's evil. He's evil. Okay. Okay. Last question. So those who have psychological problems, it's very easy for them to be possessed. Did we know the answer why? We didn't tell the answer why. Right? The reason, because actually their minds, right, is not all there. Right? And sometimes they, you know, because their spirit is weak inside of them. So evil spirit just come in, right, and use them. So those, that's why quite often those who have psychological problems also possessed by evil spirit. So that's why quite often their life is very sorrowful, right? Very sad. Okay? Next one. In Ezra and Nehemiah, the Israelite intermarried with foreign women. However, the Bible says that Ezra and Nehemiah put away their foreign wives. Does this mean they were required to divorce their wives because the male and Gentile was a sin? Why couldn't they just convert the wives to their religion? Right? So thank God this person has a lot of faith, right? Because say here, why don't you just convert them? Sometimes I say the same thing for our sister and brother who may be outsiders. Why don't you just convert them, right? Actually, it's not easy to convert them. Right? First, here, the minute they consummate, they sin against God already, right? Can you imagine some of them, right? Maybe it's 80 years old, 70 years old, they're married already, right? How, if they want to convert them, what must they do? What must they do? Huh? You guys know, right? In Old Testament, if you want to convert, you become a Jew, what you must do? Circumcise, right? You think it's easy to circumcise a person who's 60 years old, 70 years old? You think you're like, oh, sure, no problem. No. So spiritually speaking, the same thing too, right? When a person already married to our church members, they already know that is their spouse, right? Actually, some Gentile, right, they are very clever in an evil way, right? Because they know that our sisters or brother are Christian, right? So this means, first, they cannot cheat on you. They know that. They're very happy, right? They cannot cheat on you. They have to be very nice to you. And wives have to obey their husband, right? They know all these things. But for them, they don't get baptized. Why? Because they can do all those stuff. You understand, right? Sometimes they do all those stuff, and then they say, look, then they feel like, oh, my wife is, you know, yeah, she cannot do anything, right? But I can do all the things. Yeah, it's quite evil in that way, right? But of course, everybody on the end must, you know, must answer to God, right? Must answer to God, right? So when we say, why don't we just convert them? First, when you are married outside the church, you already sin against God. And when you sin against God, for that person to be converted, it's not easy. Why? Because Satan already have a foothold in them and in you. So most of the time, those who are engaged, right, as church members who are engaged, even between brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters outside, the minute they do something wrong, I mean, consummate or sexually sin against God before they're married, most of them end up not getting married. Why? Why do you think that is? Not even they don't end up getting married, they become so hatred toward one another. Why do you think that is? Why? Because the minute they sin against God, they leave a foothold for Satan. And Satan just divide them, right? And destroy them. Most of the brothers and sisters with this kind of situation, they don't come to church anymore. It's very sad, right? Very sad. Okay? I think it's all the questions. Did I miss anything here? Oh. Okay, that's pretty much it. Okay. All right, we have 10 minutes left for this class. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And thank you for all your questions, right? So we can clear things up. That's very important, right? And I'm glad you didn't go home saying that, oh, you know, that all homosexuality, you know, when they look at another person, they lust after them, right? That's a wrong concept. Okay, wrong concept. Nehemiah chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 8 and verse 9. So far, the love of God compelled Nehemiah. Then the first thing came out of his mouth, he praised the name of God. Then the second thing he did, he repented before God. right? Repent before God. This is how we rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, right? And then the fourth thing, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Verse 9. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Here, right? With these two verses, what does it tell us about the heart of Nehemiah when he says such things like this, right? Say, remember, I pray the word that you commanded your servant Moses, right? You are, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you. But if you are faithful, return to me, I will return to you. So what does this mean? What is the mentality of Nehemiah? What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Just say something. What's that? Okay, forgiveness. Okay, forgiveness. Okay. All right. Anything else? Anything else? Yes?
Yes, hold on to God's promise. What's that mean, hold on to God's promise? If we hold on to God's promise, what's that mean about us, right? About Nehemiah, what's that mean?
What's that?
Trusting him, okay? Yes, trusting him. There's another word to describe trusting him, hold on to his promise, right?
Yes, faith. Who said that? Yes, faith. Faithfulness, right? He knows that God is a faithful God, and this is very true. Really, brothers and sisters, if we do what is right, God always going to be faithful to us. But if we don't do what is right, God will practice his judgment upon us. So in other words, whatever we sow, we will reap. But always know one thing. We must have faith, and this faith will give us hope. So here, verse 8 and verse 9, it talking about the hope that we have in God. Yes, if we don't practice his word, he will scatter us. But we practice his word, then he will do everything to bring us back. This is God's faithfulness, and God, you know, that we have the hope in God. Not really for us. Always remember, when we do things for God, it's never ever in vain. If we do what is right, God always remember us. Just like Caleb and Joshua. 40 years later, maybe so many people forgot what have done, but God remember them. Like God remember them. Like everything we do, God always remember us. I remember, right, when I first came to TJC, right, and I shared with you, I went to many seminars, and all these seminars, the church, you know, willing to reimburse for it, right? But for me, I just feel, you know, I just use whatever money I have, go to different places, right? And sometimes we rent a van, right? Two vans, right? Those long vans and stuff, right? And we fly to different places. But altogether, for those years, I remember I spent probably almost $7,000, right? Altogether, my wife and I, right? So, but I didn't know that, right? I didn't know that. So what happened, about 6 months before I quit my job, then this agency had about 150 people working for them. And they could not find anyone to do this one project. Only me, right? They asked me to do this project. And this project allowed me to go to Hawaii, right? We had a meeting in Hawaii. And then I worked maybe the most 6 to 10 hours, the most. And I made $10,000 extra beside my salary, right? And then when I, you know, give tithes, when I count and give all the taxes and that, then it's about $7,000. God be paying me back all the things that I did. This is God's faithfulness. Because of his faithfulness, we always have the hope God will repay us for everything that we do that is good. But even if it doesn't, who cares? Even if it doesn't, doesn't matter, right? But God is faithful. I remember one time when I bought a house in Boston, right? And the stairways to the second floor is very dark. So I want to put a skylight, right? I want to put a skylight. So the contractor said to me, The skylight will cost $1,500, right? Including the windows, the window you're gonna put, right? So during that time, my wife and I, Boston Prayer House, we need some chairs, right? So we just bought 30 chairs, and it cost like $300, right, for the chairs, you know, the fold-up chairs one, right? So the night before the contractor came to my house to fix it, and I call him, I say, hey, you know, we still have a deal? He's like, yeah, $1,500, right, for complete work, including the window. Like, okay. The next morning he came, he's like, oh, now, Buddha, I got something to tell you. I just want to charge you $1,200. I say, why? He's like, I don't know. I just want to charge you $1,200. And this is the truth, right? When he told me that he doesn't know, he really doesn't know why. Come on, a contractor, right? Saying he would charge me $300 less to put the window up. Then I put two and two together. That $300 I spent for the chairs, God gave me back. Really, it's like this. God is awesome, really. So that's why when it comes to money, test him. That's the only thing we can do, test him, right, with money. Keep tight, you see the window of heaven open, and it's so true. You know why those brothers who always offer so much to the church, you know why? You know why? You know why they always offer so much to the church? Huh? What's the reason? Because when they offer to church, they always receive much more. So because if they love, oh, church need 100,000, sure, right? Why? Because sooner or later, God will give them $200,000 back. Really, it's like this. Especially, you know, some of the members in Northern California, right? Really, they give $100,000, $200,000 just like that. Why? Because they know, they have experience that God blessed them so much when they give, you know, when they offer money to God, right? But in reality, the money is not to God. What God can use with his money? Go shopping, right? No, the money is for the church, right? For the church. But you and I must have faith. This is very important, right? So we're talking about Nehemiah saying, God, you are the faithful God, right? Because of this, my hope is always in you. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter and read, if you have time between now and tonight, right? Read chapter 9. Look at read from verse 1, right? But let's, because due to time, we just read a couple of verses before we conclude. Look at verse 13. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them the just ordinances and true laws, good statute and commandments. Verse 14. You make known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statute, and laws by the hand of Moses your servant. Verse 15. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go and to possess the land which you had sworn to give to them, right? God sworn already to give to them, just like God promised us, you know, we will go to heaven. But look at verse 16, right? But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments, verse 17. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to the bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Look at verse 18. Even when they make a molten calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations. Verse 19. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillars of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them out of the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. Verse 20. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Verse 21. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Verse 22. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations, and divided them into districts,
So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied the children as the star of heaven and brought them into the land which you have told their father to go and possess. So here, really, the people in Nehemiah, we praising God, how wonderful he was and how merciful he was. But then later on, right, tonight we study, then these people, actually they disobeyed, they disobeyed God's word, right? Because of this, the judgment came. So read this chapter, right, so we can go over together tonight. Okay, let's bow head and pray in silence. Amen.